Hello, John. First time caller, long time listener.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
When will Tennessee's administration get on their knees and look to me for an answer?
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Make noise. Make more noise to your administration. It is time to rebel. I, God, have your back, Tennessee fans.
This is so uncomfortable.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
God, why are you calling this show?
Because I care. You're good people.
Thank you, God. All these media people keep acting like we're the devil. You know the devil. We're not him.
They're all in Gainesville. Anyway, thanks for the time today. Love the show. Again, longtime listener.
On 1340 WKGN.
John Curry is an atheist.
Hour three of the program coming at you live and in living color or living audio. I guess it's not living color. We're not on TV. Probably should think that one over. Although I guess we could kind of should we put the show on Periscope? I've had some people ask about that. It's a lot of extra work for me, I think. I guess it wouldn't be. We just keep it rolling. I guess we could just set it up and just keep it rolling. The problem is we are pretty crude in the commercial breaks.
You know, the way that I did it at one point in time is where you run the commercials through just the same as you would. So it just picks up everything that you hear, like on the radio or live stream or podcast, same stuff. Well, podcasts would be different, but so that you couldn't really hear us if our mics weren't on. Mm. I would worry about that. You know, some of the things we talk about during the breaks.
That's what I'm saying. Does that make us some people would really like it, just a free flowing conversation during the commercial breaks.
Some people would be very offended.
People would be offended.
I've already had two texts say we need the Periscope.
I know, but yeah, like
I think people want the Periscope. I've always really kind of like the idea of it, but I
got to make sure my hair's cut, because when it starts getting this length like it is right now, I look extra
balding.
You're
sitting beside me. You'll be fine. I'm ugly.
It is true. I am the most handsome man on the show. That's not true. I didn't mean that. I was just kidding. I don't know. I don't want, like, if we put the camera up, it's going to be looking right down at my bald head.
That's true.
That's what I'm worried about.
We set it up to where it's like directly behind Ben's shoulder.
Yeah.
So it could point. Like,
we did one Facebook Live for the voluntary reaction during football season. Mm-hmm. And all everyone wanted to talk about was my balding head. And it just made me sick. And I was like, oh, these people can go to hell.
You wear a hat every day.
I don't like wearing hats.
Yeah, we need to figure out. That's a tough thing.
We'll try it.
I'd like to do it. It's just a matter of how, you know, logistically, how do we do it?
Yeah, we'll try it.
And the thing we've asked is, do we do it through just the whole show, or just like do some breaks? Or we got to figure all this out.
Give me some headlines.
All right, I've got a whole lot of them. Staying on the topic of Justin Timberlake today, Timberlake says that he will never let his son play football.
That's good as he gets ready to perform for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, tell me about it. He spoke Thursday in an NFL news conference to promote his halftime performance, of course. Him and actress Jessica Biel are the parents of a two-year-old named Silas. After jokingly offering to suit up himself Sunday as a wide receiver if the Patriots needed him. Is he a Patriots fan? Guess he's a Patriots fan. Timberlake was asked by a reporter if he would support it if Silas wanted to run some routes and get to the NFL. Timberlake responded, he will never play football. No. I mean, yeah, it's kind of like that thing where my main objective is that he becomes a great person. And if he wants to get into the arts or sports, then yeah, I would fully support it. I think I can hopefully offer him some advice on what to do and what not to do. But right now we're working on our manners. That's a big deal in our house. It's like one thing at a time. So I guess he would be okay with him doing other sports, but no football. Probably be good for his head. I mean, I don't know. It's getting kind of a bad stigma these days, you know. A lot of parents don't want their kids to play. Which, you know, CTE, I mean, I get it.
What happens in the future, that's fine. I just think it's weird that he would be doing the Super Bowl halftime interview saying this stuff, like as he's kind of a guest and a paid guest of the NFL.
It is weird timing. Unless he's just getting ready to take a big stance against CTE. I wonder if that's his next public campaign, you know? Like, everybody's got something.
You think that's going to be his?
Well, I mean, everybody's got something, like,
And by the way, he's not a Patriots fan. He's apparently a Packers fan.
Well, I wonder why he made a comment about suiting up for the Patriots. I guess he likes the Patriots
he
more.
He probably thinks he could be a slot receiver. Probably thinks
he
could be a slot receiver.
He kind of fits the mold.
I mean, the Patriots would put him on the field and find a way to give him 60 catches and pick up some big first downs.
He kind of fits the mold. He could be.
I mean, you could put Timberlake in the place of Danny Amendola, and they're still probably winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Brady would have found a way to complete 3rd and 18 to Justin Timberlake. That's probably why I said it. The Eagles, they don't need him. The Patriots will use him. All right, one headline down. You got any more? Is that it?
I got several more.
Hit me with some headlines.
I can do this all day. Russell Westbrook shoved a fan last night.
I can do this all day.
I can do it 4 through 7 more headlines. That's basically all day.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw this headline. So Russell Westbrook, they took an L last night. They lost in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense has been slacking since they lost Roberson. Roberson was their starting defender. Basically, they had 4 guys who could score, and then him out there just trying to guard the wing. Ever since he's gone out, the defense has struggled a little bit. They give up 127 points last night to Denver. So a fan walks on the court after the game, and Westbrook shoves him? Is that pretty much the story?
Basically, the guy just kind of got up in his face, and Westbrook, it was like a one-handed just kind of in his chest, just a very small – I don't even know if you'd call it a shove. It's really not even worth a headline, but just the fact that I guess security had to restrain this fan, and they, well, not restrain him, not like he wasn't coming at him, but it was just, yeah, they drug him off, and Westbrook just kind of looked confused. He's like, what's this guy doing on the court?
That's why I was so surprised. You know, we talked about the video. I put it up on FoxSportsKnoxville.com, the video of the Pelicans fan out there catching a stretch and shooting a jumper with the Pelicans, right? And I was like, I'm surprised they did not kick him out. I'm surprised that they just let him go back to his seat just because you don't want to open up. Well, it's okay for some people to go on the court. So it's okay for some people to go on the court, and then it's okay for players to push other guys on the court. Like, I just think we should, not to be like a stickler or a no fun guy, but let's just keep fans off the court.
I misinterpreted the rules.
Yeah, let's just make a blanket rule. No getting on the court in an NBA game.
Kevin Love will not have surgery on his fractured hand. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, which we sort of discussed the other day, but it turns out that he won't need surgery. So that's the update here. 6 to 8 weeks, no surgery. So that's good for Kevin Love. Micah Abernathy, Tennessee senior defensive back, was named to the SEC Football Leadership Council this year, and he will attend an annual meeting at the SEC office on Friday and Saturday, which is today and tomorrow. What is the SEC Football Leadership Council?
I don't know.
No, apparently he's on it. Tom Brady had a rookie card which sold for $250,000 on eBay Thursday. That shattered the record for the highest price ever paid for a Brady collectible and the second highest price ever paid for a modern-day sports card. The card, a playoff contender's rookie ticket championship version, is one of 100 that were produced in the year 2000. It was in mint condition. $250,000. Wouldn't you like to be in possession of one of those things?
I'd like $250,000. That'd be nice.
That would be just fine. Staying on the topic of the Patriots and Tom Brady and that team, Greg Schiano is expected to interview for the Patriots defensive coordinator job.
A lot of people thought that was the – I saw this about basically when Matt Patricia basically was saying, yeah, I'm gone. A lot of people thought Greg Schiano to New England made sense. Bill Belichick has an affinity for Rutgers players. He gave the vote of confidence to Greg Schiano during the whole Tennessee mess.
Yep.
It also makes sense for Ohio State to be like, yeah, you should go do that. And to get off a college campus. Like, what happened here in Knoxville doesn't happen in the NFL, I don't think. Really, being a defensive coordinator at a college, it doesn't necessarily happen. You know, it didn't happen at Ohio State. You're not the face of the franchise. But I'm sure after that, Greg Schiano had to realize, if I'm ever going to be a head coach again, the best chance of doing that's in the NFL, right?
Right.
So you do the equivalent of Lane Kiffin and what Hugh Freeze tried to do and Steve Sarkisian, and you go do the rehabilitation program with the Patriots. And all of a sudden you coach a good defense maybe for a couple of years, and you show that you can handle it, and players start liking you again. And then you go get a head coaching job. That's his best route if he wants to be a head coach. So it makes sense.
It's still amazing to me when I think back to that Sunday. I mean, just imagine us sitting here right now doing radio and Greg Schiano's the head coach. I mean, what is the mood right now in Tennessee football, if that's the case?
People would be a lot more interested in Tennessee basketball.
It was such a dark day, like, until we saw the light. I still think about it all the time, what it would be like if Schiano was the head coach right now. It would be insane.
Did you see this story coming out of The Bachelor?
No.
I know you don't like The Bachelor. This isn't about The Bachelor.
My mom likes it.
But a contestant was apparently missing. She was on like a list of like 35 people currently listed as missing from California's Department of Justice website. No one knew where this girl was.
Mm-hmm.
They posted it on Facebook, like, have you seen any of these people? And apparently someone said, yeah, that's Becca. She's on The Bachelor right now.
Becca, that would be her name.
And everyone's like, what? And it's like, yeah, she's not missing at all. She's on The Bachelor. So then they called her.
She's on ABC right now.
So then they called her, and she's like, yeah, that's me. So they took her off the missing person list.
Well,
she was reported
weird.
On November 18th as missing by her mother. Martinez had reportedly come to Humboldt County to work on a marijuana farm. Her mother hadn't heard from her since November 12th. So basically, she just quit answering her mother. So her mom put her on a missing person list, and then she ends up on The Bachelor.
Well, that's sad.
Well, at least she's alive. I guess it's better than being dead if you're the mother.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least she's alive. I'm sure the mother's heard by now, but I wonder if the mother saw her on The Bachelor. Think the mother watches The Bachelor?
I don't know.
That's kind of sad, though. Just no contact at all to where she was put on a missing persons list.
And then winds up on The Bachelor.
She's like, here I am. And maybe she'll get chosen.
That'd be a Cinderella story right there. From dead and missing to Bachelor. Winner.
He said she worked on a marijuana farm?
She moved to Humboldt County in California to work on a marijuana farm.
It'd be an interesting job.
I had a friend move out to Denver to do that.
Yeah, to actually work on the farm?
He's turned into a real free spirit out there.
I'm sure he has.
He's a changed man out there.
I could imagine. Bill Belichick has apologized for some comments he made about Mexico City. I don't even know why this is a story, really. In fact, I'm not going to read it. I have a better story. That's kind of a dumb story. I'm not going to read it.
I don't want stories. I want headlines, by the way.
Okay. Well, here's a headline. Falcons owner on Patriots 283 diamond Super Bowl ring, quote, it kind of pissed me off, unquote.
What a hater right there. There's somebody that belongs in the Hating Hall of Fame. To get mad that the player's got a big 283 diamond ring.
Well, apparently he was really rattled by the number, you know. The 283. 283.
28-3.
He told Robert Kraft, he's like, was that really necessary, basically?
You could have done 280, right?
He's like, that's
you could
what
have done 280.
That's what he said in this interview with CBS Sports. He said, I said to Robert, you didn't have to do the 28-3 in the ring. Kind of peed me off.
Robert Kraft's wild. Robert Kraft doesn't care. What's Arthur Blank's old ass going to do to you? Nothing. Nothing. Bob Kraft would beat him up.
Well, he was not happy about it.
Man, do something about it. Go win you one, Arthur. Don't gag a 28-3 lead. They got some tough shoes to fill in this Super Bowl. They got some tough shoes to fill in the Super Bowl. Last year's was really good. I think this one's going to be the opposite. We'll catch a break. Come back. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. We still need a Toyota Knoxville poll question. I wanted to put up something about recruiting, then I got sidetracked. Whether or not you're confident or worried about this class. Worried about the finish to this class, not the class in general, because you know I think Jeremy Pruitt had a long road to go. But just seemed really hot that first week of January. Right? You seemed really hot, and then it's kind of cooled down as you actually get to where it's time to start putting pen on the paper. If you missed Blake Morgan's spot with us, it came up at 11 a.m., the top of hour two, and he gave us some updates and basically said with Quay Walker, with Elijah Griffin, if signing day would have been a couple weeks earlier, Tennessee gets both of them. Now he's not confident at all in Griffin. He said a 30% chance. And with Quay Walker, he said it's about a 50-50 proposition.
Does not sound all that promising.
So I believe our Toyota Knoxville poll question will be, with less than a week remaining, are you confident or worried about the end of this class with the last week? Riley tweets in his potential poll question. Over, under 3.5 win for men's hoops, counting the SEC tournament and NCAA tournament. It's a pretty good question.
Yeah, Riley's been wanting us to address that for a few
okay.
days.
Okay, yeah, think. I'll put that up there. Shout out to Riley for listening. Shout out to him for helping us do our job. All right, so that's the poll question. Over, under 3.5 combined wins, SEC tournament and NCAA tournament. What do you got?
You combine the SEC tourney and the NCAA tourney, I'm going to go over 3.5. I think that Tennessee can get at least one win in the SEC tournament. So let's assume they get the bye. They're not going to be
get playing, the double bye.
Yeah, they're not going to be playing a very good team.
Well, by the time the double bye comes, you are kind of playing a decent team.
Well, you're still down to 8, right?
Yeah. I mean, the top 8 is pretty solid, and Tennessee's probably not going to be the one seed, so they'll probably be playing somebody in the 5, 6, 7 range.
Okay, so the first one, like the Wednesday night games or whatever, that's like the bottom 4.
Yeah, that
right?
those teams are terrible.
Yeah, so they have to play their way into the 12
mm-hmm.
against
– Yeah.
I think Tennessee will win at least – let's say they just get one game in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, then they have to win 3.
Yeah, that's tough.
They have to win 3, and they have to get to the Elite 8 in that scenario?
That's a good number. Yeah, I don't think they're getting to the
right.
Elite 8. I think they can win 2 in the SEC tournament, right? But winning 2 would mean they're playing on Sunday, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So I think they can. I think they can win 2. I think they can get to the SEC championship game on Sunday, and then they just got to win 2 to go over, so get to the Sweet 16.
It had to be, yeah, 2-2 seems a lot more likely than 1-3.
I think what I would say now is I'll go under 3.5.
I think under would be the favorite here.
Yeah.
I do think the most likely number, Cody, would be 3, right?
Yeah.
Because even if you win 2 in the SEC tournament and get to the championship, you still got to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And that's asking – and look, I'm not being critical, but that's asking a lot of Rick Barnes, who hasn't had very much tournament success this last decade.
And it may be even more difficult to win two or to get to the Sunday of the SEC championship game. Because assuming you're a three seed or a four seed, let's say they get a four seed.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in the NCAA tournament it's even easier to – I wouldn't say easier, but maybe you have a better chance of beating a 13 seed. I don't know. There's some different ways around this. That's a really good question by Riley.
I think you got to go under.
I do too. I think you got to go.
It's asking a lot to get to the Elite Eight. I don't think it's asking too much to get to the SEC championship. But if you are a three or four seed, that means you're going to probably play the five and the one if you're a four seed versus something like the six and the two if you are a three seed.
I feel pretty good about Tennessee and its first round game. I mean, we don't know the matchups yet, obviously.
I feel confident that Tennessee will finish in the top four in the SEC. You know, they're going to beat – I'm fairly confident they're going to beat Ole Miss tomorrow.
I feel good about Tennessee first round of the NCAA tournament and the first game of the SEC tournament. I think they can win both of those games. Like, I see Tennessee at least getting to the round of 32.
Okay.
So that's two wins.
Yeah. The other two is what's hard.
Yeah, the other two, that's what you don't know. I mean, can they get to the Sweet 16? Could they get to the Sunday of the SEC Championship? I think they're good enough to, obviously. I mean, I think they're probably maybe the most complete team in the SEC right now. But so, you know, logic would tell you that they should move to, if they could get that two seed, they could very well get to the SEC title game. But it's just hard to say. It's hard to take the over on that number. I think I'm with you. I think I would go under 3.5. That would be the safe way to play it. That would be the safe way to play that number.
That's, I guess, a successful season so far that it's a conversation, that it's a debate, that you actually do see a path to four. But like I said, just I think Tennessee can get to the Sweet 16. I do think that. That third win is going to be hard, though. With where they're slotted right now as either a 3 or a 4 or a 5 seed, that seems to be the most likely. That's the most likely outcome of this season, a 3, 4, or 5 seed, which would mean that your Sweet 16 games either gets a 2 or a 1. Like, it's going to be tough to get that third win. And Tennessee's never gotten that third win in the SEC tournament from where they're going to be slotted. I mean, they've won 3 games in the tournament before, I'm sure, to get to the championship. But assuming Tennessee has the double bye, they've never won the SEC tournament in a long time. Since, like, what, Bernard King? 70s? Yeah. Not never, but I don't. It wasn't the conference wasn't as big then. But
when
still.
They won the tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long, long time. 79, maybe? Okay. Rings a bell?
Yeah, we're too young for this.
I might just be dreaming that. I think it's 79. I think it's 1979.
We're Toyota Knoxville.
And that's our Toyota Knoxville poll question. If you want to go vote for it, look it up on Twitter, Fox Sports Knox. You can call and weigh in if you have a vote for over or under. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Toyota, go see our friends at Toyota Knoxville, 10455 Parkside Drive, the American flag hanging down right off the interstate. You know where it's at, off the Lovell Road exit. Parkside Drive, you know where it's at. Right, but, you know, don't go to Turkey Creek. Go the other way. You know what I'm talking about? Right there on Parkside Drive.
I know where
there's Turkey Creek, and then there's left. Don't go to Turkey Creek. Too crowded. Go left and go see our friends at Toyota Knoxville. Let's catch a break. We'll hit the phone lines when we get back. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab Roger. Good afternoon, Roger.
Hey. Oh, hey, guys. Hey, John. Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing swell, buddy.
Hello, Roger.
Good. How's it going, Cody, buddy? How's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing good, my friend. I can't complain. I'm ready for lunch, I tell you that. I didn't have any breakfast, so I'm ready to eat.
Oh, yeah. Let's mean all that. Ask y'all a question about the Super Bowl. I know I asked you yesterday, but I just want to ask you some more about Super Bowl. I haven't heard a lot about it. Talk about all week about it. Curious about you all about it. As I hope the Eagles win, and I just want to ask you about for the game wise. Y'all see the for the matchup and that, and also the game itself. You think it could be a game at the end. You think it could be a side game to watch at the end?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Roger. I think that, I mean, the Eagles can keep it close. They can. I don't think they're going to. I think the Patriots are, like I said in hour one, like, Brady, obviously, awesome. Belichick, Patricia, give them 2 weeks to prepare for Nick Foles, who's a backup quarterback. I'll take the Patriots big. But also said, like, to be consistent, like, I did say the Eagles have a better team. Like, if you swap Brady and Foles, the Eagles win this game by 30. Maybe that's extreme, but probably like 24. Goes up to probably a 12, 11, probably goes up to a 13-point spread if Brady is the quarterback of the Eagles. But sure, the Eagles can keep it close. I don't think they're going to.
You know, the total for this game right now, 48.5. I'm just thinking about that. And you said, obviously, Patricia Belichick will have something for Nick Foles. Going to be tough for Philadelphia to score a lot of points against New England. But I'm thinking about how good Philly's defense is, too, if they can get some pressure on Brady. And then also the fact that, you know, New England, up until the final until they took over the fourth quarter against Jacksonville, that game was 24-10 at one point, I believe, in the fourth.
It was a 10-point lead, so I think it was 24-14.
24-14, something like that.
It was a 10-point game.
My point is, New England didn't have many points. They had like 10 or 14 points. And I wonder if this could be a similar type game with the Eagles, if they could kind of contain New England's offense. Just wondering if maybe it'll be a somewhat low-scoring game, and if that under 48.5 might be a good bet.
I like Jay Ajayi to get over. I was trying to get some prop bets. Do you find any prop bets you like? So you like the under in the game?
I don't know. What do you think about it? I was going to ask you about it.
I just think back to what New England did to the Titans, right? With Mariota and 2 weeks to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, the Eagles' offense probably more balanced. They're going to be able to run the ball a little better. But that also means they should probably try to kind of shorten this game. But it's not in their DNA, right? The Eagles are – it's not in their DNA to try to shorten a game. As they were up 10 against the Vikings, they were still throwing the ball before half, trying to get more points, and they did. They just know one speed. I would probably lean with the over, Cody, but like I don't feel confident about it one way or the other.
Yeah. I thought about maybe taking that under, but again, that's the worst thing, you know. To me, I've said that's my worst thing is when you take an under and then it's, you know, it's 20-17 at halftime or something.
I'll say that taking the over and it being low scoring is worse than taking the under and it just getting blown through. It's more excruciating. It's a lot slower of a death because you still keep trying to calculate. Well, I just need this many points.
There's always hope, though, that in the fourth quarter they'll put on some points. You know, maybe teams will get worn down a little bit.
That's the problem. That's the problem is you still have the hope.
You hold out the hope.
Yeah, that's the problem is you still have the hope. Now, granted,
but I feel like that's a positive thing too.
No, it's excruciating. I'd rather just turn the damn game off.
At the end, it sucks more. Yeah, you're probably right. But I do think the under, that's always disappointing when you take an under and then, you know, then you're like, why didn't I just take the over? Stupid.
It is awful to have the under and give up a garbage time touchdown to lose that with like a minute and a half left, though. That is one of the worst feelings. Both of them suck when you lose. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab Zach. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
So, question. I saw an article recently about how people were coming to Tom Brady saying, is your career wrapping up? And he kind of wasn't giving them the time of day. Speaking that we all kind of assume that he's going to walk away with a ring on Sunday. How many more seasons do you guys foresee him actually having that kind of continue his legacy? And do you think he goes out when he's on top, or do you think he teeters off a little bit? I'm kind of curious to see what his future looks like in the NFL.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing that came from the Kraft family. Is basically like, yeah, we're gonna let Brady call his own shots. He's gonna go out when he wants to. Brady keeps saying he wants to play until 45. That's what he keeps saying. Say what? In the cold.
That's bold.
Yeah. It's bold. Yeah.
It's bold and in the cold.
Yeah. Well, now that they traded Garoppolo, man, like they traded Garoppolo, so there's nobody going to force him out until he wants to. I'd say Brady plays at least three more years.
And the fact that
do you think Roethlisberger kind of goes the line with him, or do you think, I see Roethlisberger being done about in 2 to 3 easy, but I don't know if he's going to kind of continue that length of him. It'll be interesting to see, especially with, Garoppolo obviously leaving. There's not really anyone for New England to fall back on. So, always been in Brady's hands. It's not like they have to worry about that. But
Big Ben's got to be like 80 in quarterback years.
Yeah.
I feel like Brady's.
Big Ben's going to be moving slow here in the next 2 years. He's going to be slowing down way more.
Well, you know, last year he tried to retire and then or flirted with retiring. And then this year after their season, he said, I want to play 3 more years. So, yeah, I do think it'd be kind of the same window. Them trading Garoppolo made me think Brady has no intentions of even thinking about retiring.
Yeah.
Because you don't get rid of your contingency plan as a franchise, and you don't do that if you're Brady, if you plan on walking away soon. He wants to play until he's 45. I'll say 2021 he's still playing. Appreciate the phone call, Zach.
The thing that's most interesting to me is, touched on yesterday, is whether they go out at the same time, Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they will, or they should. I don't know that they will.
Who's singing the national anthem this year? Do we know?
Pink.
Pink?
Yeah. She's apparently an Eagles fan.
Oh, yeah?
Right?
Yeah, there's like prop bets on her, on like what color her hair is going to be, like stuff like that.
I'm going to go with pink.
She's going to go blonde.
If it's going to be green for the Eagles. If she'll say go Eagles after the national anthem.
Okay. Maybe the green for the Eagles. I still think blonde. We also got props on the first Timberlake song played. That's right. The album's out. The halftime performance. We have prop bets on what the first song he plays is at halftime. The favorites can't stop the feeling. I can't stop the feeling. Didn't make anybody's really top five. I think one guy tweeted in and said that it should be on there, but that was pretty much it. I think I kind of like Filthy. I think he's going to start with his new single. We'll pump the brakes or keep rolling. On the other side is Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Nutrition.
Last call here on the program. Last call for the week as we get you into your weekend. We will pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody Mack, you want to go first or second?
I'll go first today. Tom Brady's acceptance speech. I want to know. I had forgotten about this. I'm surprised we didn't talk about it earlier. A photo surfaced yesterday of Tom Brady's acceptance speech as the NFL MVP. And the funny thing is, he hadn't been named MVP yet. It's supposed to happen on Saturday night. But during the Patriots media availability on Thursday, a team staffer was seen holding his acceptance speech for the award that will be presented on Saturday. You can clearly see in the photo, SportsCenter tweeted it out, you can clearly see Brady acceptance speech, and below it you see them talking about the MVP award. So does it mean that he's got it locked up, or is it just a generic in case he wins it?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a good question. But it's going to make people think. I saw people reporting that it looks like he is going to be named MVP, and he probably is. And he probably is. He was the one consistent throughout the whole year. He was the one consistent all the way through. There were a lot of competitors throughout the year, Carson Wentz, Antonio Brown, Todd Gurley, but the one consistent was always Brady. Illness going through Philadelphia Eagles locker room. That seems like it's kind of important. Titans raise ticket prices.
Gas break. Dip, dip. Gas break.
Couple games. Dip, I guess they think they can win some, raise some ticket prices. Memphis Grizzlies shut down Tyreek Evans in preparation for a trade.
Can we go back to the Titans one?
No,
I want to roll on this one.
Go, 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 go.
Monopoly releasing new edition that encourages cheating.
Now give it to me.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
These are the kind of stories I like.
The new Monopoly that is coming out, dubbed the Cheaters Edition, asks the question, what can you get away with? It will now encourage, well, first of all, it's got to be tough to get people to buy board games in 2018, right? When's the last time you sat down and played a board game?
I think people still play board games, like families and people who are drinking.
Like what? Like
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, that's not a board game. That's a card game. That's a little bit different. I mean, everyone likes Cards Against Humanity and all that stuff, but like,
is Jenga? Is that a? It's not a board
that's
game.
That's not a board like game.
It kind of counts the same category, but
sort of.
I love an Jenga actual too. Board game. I can't remember the last time I played one. It's been a while.
The idea for the game originated after a Hasbro survey revealed that more than half of Monopoly players try to cheat during the game.
Mm-hmm.
We finally decided to embrace our less-than-honest fans by encouraging them to partake in these iconic Monopoly moments that occur during family game nights. Such things as try to skip a couple places, steal somebody's hotel. If you get caught, you have to go to jail. That type of thing. I'd be interested in playing the Cheaters Edition of Monopoly.
Yeah.
They've got me interested. Good move for them.
I would do it. Cincinnati Zoo Hippo picks the Super Bowl.
There's no story I hate more than stupid animals picking the Super Bowl.
I knew you would hate that story when I said it. I knew you would skip on it. Hollywood's oldest working actress. Died today at 105. Connie Sawyer, who was actually still working.
What's her IMDb look like? What's her name?
I imagine it's got a lot of films and movies. Connie Sawyer. She's 105 years old. Her daughter, Lisa Dudley, told CNN that she died today. She suffered a heart attack and later died on, well, actually January 21st.
Oh, she was an old lady in Dumb and Dumber, right?
Yeah, I believe so. She died at the retirement home, but she was still working? I guess she was leaving the home to go. What was she still doing? How's she working? Well, anyway.
She doesn't have an IMDb credit since 2014, so I don't know how much she was actually working.
Well, she was on Will and Grace, When Harry Met Sally, Archie Bunker's Place. So she was on some pretty big-time stuff. Born in 1912, the same year the Titanic sank.
She was Nana on The Office.
The same year the Titanic sank.
Pineapple Express. Yeah, most of her IMDb credits are either Nana, Old Lady, Grandma, Old Lady, Senior Wife. Only once does she get a name, Hazel.
Do you realize that she was 30 in the middle of World War II? That's just insane for me to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
This isn't... You remember a month ago, the story came up that there are two grandchildren of a president that was, like, in the Civil War? Like, they had... grandchildren whose grandfather had lived during the Civil War times.
I do remember that, because they were like 70 when they had their kids.
This is that's the craziest. This feels like number two when you lay out that this lady was 30 when the world when World War II was going on.
When I hear about somebody who's really old, I just think of events, though, that they've, like 9/11. She's born in 1912. That would have made her 89 when 9/11 happened, and that's extremely old. And that was forever ago.
The Big Baller Brand Junior Basketball League has made its first contract offer to a player. Jalen Carey, a point guard from New Jersey, currently committed to Syracuse, number 37 player in ESPN's rankings, 56 on 247. He sent out the screenshot of getting the invitation for the Big Baller Brand Junior Basketball League. Salary set to be anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000 a month. The screenshot read, "Come be a part of history." Let us know who we need to talk to.
The Formula One girl, the Grid Girls, had this story the other day. They're not happy about losing their jobs.
No, God, please, no, no!
A man was arrested at a gym.
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again? Do you have time?
This guy kind of looks like Bear. You're going to be honest.
I could see him being Bear's older brother.
Bear, I love you. This is not a shot, but this guy does just look like an older you. A naked man reportedly was arrested after residents at an apartment complex in Orlando caught him working out in the community gym naked, according to authorities. CBS affiliate WKMG wrote that deputies arrived at the Andover Place Apartments where a woman saw the tenant, identified as Carrie Haynes. So not related to Bear, I don't think. Deputy said a maintenance worker at the complex also saw him. Apparently, he was riding a stationary bike nude. Apparently, the worker asked the man what he was doing, and he replied, "Working out," according to the arrest report. They captured the encounter on video, gave it to authorities as evidence. The man's workout routine was not done. He allegedly left the gym to return to his apartment, but was seen laying in the grass, by the pond. Okay. Well, that's an interesting story.
A limo driver and self-taught rocket scientist has plans to launch himself into the stratosphere. His ultimate goal is to get to outer space and prove that Earth is flat. He is a limo driver and a self-taught rocket scientist. On February 3rd, tomorrow, he plans on launching himself into the stratosphere. He built this rocket in his garage, and his goal is to prove the Earth is flat.
I can't wait to hear how this story turns out.
I'm really pumped about this one. I'm going to give you an update on Monday, and please, please make sure you you pump the brakes on that.
Oh, I'll pump the brakes on that.
I don't think he's going to make it. I like the Patriots. You like the Patriots as well?
Yeah, Patriots to win.
Ben, Patriots, thumbs up. Everyone likes the Patriots here. That probably means the Eagles win. That'll do it for us this week. Check out the podcast, FoxSportsKnoxville.com on iTunes. Stay locked in right here on Fan Run Radio.